Everybody here tonight that's going to camp, I got a real special message I'm going to talk about. So don't miss tonight, everybody with young people especially. I believe in my heart that the answer to all our problems is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever problem you've got today, if you're broke, if you're mad, if you're sorry, if you're having marriage trouble, if you're having physical trouble, financial trouble, I don't care what it is, you put that in Jesus Christ. You know what they did to their problems back in the Old Testament one time? He said the waters were bitter. And he said, cut that tree down, throw it in that water. That's a picture of the cross. Whatever your problem is this morning, you put the cross in it. And look what Jesus did for you, and it'll work out. One way or another. Psalm 33 this morning. I'll read you a very familiar verse of Scripture about our country and how I feel about it and how the Bible says about it. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes about America. America. Our country that we live in. I'm glad to be an American. I know this morning that our country is away from God. I know that if we continue the direction our country's going in this morning, we got major problems coming down the road. But I tell you this morning, I'm glad to be an American. I don't want to move to another country. I like living here. It's not perfect, but it's better than anywhere else in this world. God has blessed us to be able to live in the greatest country on earth. And you know what? He's blessed us by living in the best part of that country, here in the Bible Belt. As one old preacher said, he said, I'm a Christian by mercy. I'm a preacher by my calling. I'm a Baptist by choice. I'm redneck by birth and Southern by the grace of God. Amen. When I was little, I didn't realize that we was growing up. I didn't realize how good we got it here till I got out and started traveling. You realize most places you go, you can't even drink the water. That's why they sell it in stores. The same thing comes out of my spigot up there in Nebo as you buy in stores. Same thing. They had it tested one time. It's 99 point something pure. The air is clean. The mountains are around us and protect us from tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff like that. I want to say a few things about America this morning, and maybe stuff that you'll never hear in high school or college unless you go to a Christian school or college. You don't really get the right education. You really don't. There's a move this morning to erase God out of the all secular society and take Him out like He had nothing to do with our nation being founded. I want to talk first of all just for a minute this morning about the greatness of America. In our fields here in America, every crop is grown. Corn, tomato. My neighbor brought us some squash and stuff out of his garden, cucumbers and green beans, just the other day, grown right on my own land that I let him use to make a garden. The trees of America, the oaks, the poplar, the dogwood, of every fruit and wood nearly almost in the world grow right here in our country. The mines of America, they mine almost every mineral that men use, mined right here in our own country. They don't want you to know this, but you are sitting over top of enough oil to do us forever, but the environmental movement won't let them drill it. We've got plenty of oil. We've got enough oil in America under our feet to make it 99 cents a gallon. And the environmentalists don't want to do that. Now, I don't see how come it's wrong here, but it ain't wrong in another country to drill it. Why don't they go over and make them stop? I'll tell you why. Their agenda is to bring us under the power of a one world government. But anyway, Canada and Mexico that border us don't have the blessings that America has. As soon as you cross into Canada going north, everything changes. As soon as you cross into Mexico going south, everything changes. None of them have the blessings that America has had on it. The seasons. I was telling my buddy there from New York how that God's blessed us with seasons. Here we have a beautiful summer. It's not really too hot. few days we get it real hot. Then we have a fall that's out of this world, all different colors. Then we have winter and have a few snows. Then it's spring and beautiful again. The Lord's blessed us here. They said back in Russia in 1937 that Stalin said this, there must not remain one single house of prayer and God will be banished. That's what they want to do with America. But they're wrong. It didn't work. Freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want to as of now. May not be that way long. And feel free to worship God according to how I feel in my heart. They say that we have our religious freedom here in America. The greatness of America. I've preached over in Ireland and up in Canada and in Haiti and a few places in Germany. And I'm telling you, I could not wait to get back to Marion, North Carolina. I could not wait. I could not wait. When I got here, you feel a safety that you do not feel in other countries. I'm talking about America is great. You realize this morning that 90% of the missionaries in the world get their support from America. I've heard people say, I wonder how come God ain't judged America. That's probably why. We still support 90% of the missionaries in the world. So if the devil could knock America out, that would knock out the gospel going to 90% of the world. And that's why he's after America. And by the way, that's why God spared America so far. There's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of churches, and we support the missionaries. And the scale is tipping. Thank God America is a great, great, and great, wonderful land. I want to say secondly this morning, I want to talk about the God of America. America is great because God made it great. And if somebody said America is good because it's great because it's good, and when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And that's true too. Our South America was founded by men seeking gold. North America was founded by men seeking God. As a matter of fact, Christopher Columbus, when he came to America, here's what he said, quote, I know they'll never tell you all this at school, so you got to get it from me this morning. Here's what he said, Christopher Columbus, quote, it was the Lord who put it into my heart. I could feel His hand upon me. There is no doubt that the inspiration came from the Holy Spirit. That's what Christopher Columbus said. Wonder why that's not taught in school. The reason it's not is because they have a bias against the Bible and they don't want kids to think God had anything new, which are really their job to teach history. If you're a history teacher, teach it right. And he said, the Holy Spirit put it in my heart and led me to this country. Listen, our fathers wasn't perfect. Our forefathers, they wasn't all saved even. And some of them were deists who were not saved. But I'll tell you one thing, this country was built mainly by people who wanted to preach the Bible. I know they come up with all these stories about them being heathens. I mean, they're flesh like everybody else. But their main purpose was the prophets. You say, you don't believe it? Let me read you something this morning. I don't usually do this while I'm preaching. But I want to read you something this morning. This is called the Mayflower Compact. And the Mayflower Compact is what they started out our nation with. And I want you to read it. When they landed over yonder at Plymouth Rock and they got our nation started, right at the same time the King James Bible came off of the press. That was no accident. When the Bible came off the press, America settled 1620 at Plymouth Rock. Let me tell you what they said. Mayflower Compact, quote, they ought to teach you this in school too, kids. In the name of God, amen. They started out in the name of God, amen. That's a good way to start out a nation, isn't it? In the name of God, and it wasn't talking about Allah. Now, I can prove that to you. It said, we whose names are underwritten and loyal subjects of our dread sovereign King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith. The man said the other day, he said, oh, King James was effeminate, and King James played tennis on Sunday, and King James... Well, I want to remind you this morning, King James... James never touched that Bible. He was simply the king that gave the order of the committee to produce the Bible. He didn't write it. He didn't produce it. One man said, King James changed part of it. No, he didn't. Listen, brother, that book right there was under the authority of King James, and really it made King James the founding monarch of the United States of America. Let's read a little bit more. We have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, and by these do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another covenant, combine ourselves into a civil body for the better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. Now, people were a lot smarter back then than you are now. Do you want me to tell you what that means? People can't even talk like that now. Are you going to tell you what that means? It said they come here for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. You hear me this morning? For the advancement of the Christian faith. Not Islam. Not Buddhism. The advancement of the Christian faith. I want to tell you, if you don't believe what I'm saying, go to Washington, D.C. Every building up there has got letters that big dug out, say scratched in stone with quotes out of the King James Bible. We're not a bunch of religious fanatics trying to make the world Christian. We are a bunch of Americans who are saved that believe that still our job is for the advancement of the Christian faith. Thank God this morning of the God of America. You're in good company if you're a Christian this morning. Our fathers founded this nation for the advancement of the Christian faith. Amen. I want to tell you a let me give you a little information here. Our colleges, you know, do you go to college nowadays? The last thing you'll hear about is God, but it didn't used to be that way. Didn't used to be that way at all. Princeton University was originally called the College of New Jersey and was founded in Princeton, New Jersey by the Presbyterian Church. I want to show you how Harvard, you ever heard of Harvard University? Anybody in here ever heard of Harvard? It's the first, one of the first colleges in this country. John Harvard, 1607 to 1638. That means he was in his prime right when the Bible came off of the press, the world's greatest book. John Harvard came to America to be a clergyman in Charleston, Massachusetts. He contributed his library. He gave all his books in 1636 for the founding of the first college in America, which was named after him, Harvard University. And he said this, the purpose of Harvard was to train illiterate clergy. To get in college in Harvard, you had to be able to write and speak Latin, and you had to be able to decline and know nouns and verbs in Greek just to get in. We're a lot dumber now than people were back then. TV and the world, we're smart on electronics, but we're dumb in language and history and Bible when it comes to what's really important. And Harvard was founded. You know what it was Harvard found? That every student of Harvard, this was their rule, be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed. The main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. They said the main reason a kid gets in Harvard is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you honestly think the class of 2014, when they got up there and said, all right, young people, the main end of you being here is to know God and Jesus Christ? I doubt it seriously. They don't even talk about Jesus. They laugh at it. They don't even have a Bible in the class anymore. I'm telling you, that's the God of America. The God of America. Don't ever be ashamed of being identified with the God of the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed of being called a Christian, and don't ever be ashamed of saying I'm a Baptist and a child of God. That's nothing to be ashamed of. We ought to thank God and raise our banner high and say hallelujah, the God of America made us what we are today. Amen. It's not Muhammad. It's not an atheistic society like they have in Russia. It's not a bunch of people sitting around tying up ourselves up in a knot, doing like this and meditating, trying to reach some higher plane of consciousness. It is Bible-believing Christians who realize we're sinners and know God. I'm going to do a video presentation Thursday night at camp. Every young person and adult in America needs to see what I'm going to do. You would not believe. You would not believe. It's entitled, "They Still Hate Jesus." Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. They hated him when he's here the first time, and they still hate him this morning. I'm going to do that Thursday night at camp. You ought to be there. I'm telling you something, brother. It's unbelievable. The God of this country is the Lord God of the Bible. I want to say thirdly this morning, I'll move along quickly this morning, about the guilt of America. The guilt of America. By Benjamin Franklin said on July the 4th, 1776, he said, we must all hang together or we'll all hang separately. You know that? He said, if we don't hang together, we'll hang separately. They'll hang him here and him there. They'll hang us all. They said, now in America, let me show you how bad it's got. 1 out of 12 teenagers in this nation today has attempted suicide. You parents here this morning, don't you ever take it for granted that your kid's just going to turn out right. Don't you? You better not say, oh well, I take them to church, they'll be alright. You better spend time, you better get them in every good service, the devil will get your kid, my kid, any of our kids here this morning and ruin their lives. 63, the Bible was kicked out of our schools in 1963. The Supreme Court voted with only one opposing it, that no longer would we have prayer and Bible in the school. In 1973, they passed a law called Roe versus Wade. And Roe versus Wade, they said, a woman can legally have an abortion. We won't take time to go into all that this morning, but I want to tell you something. If your mind is messed up by television, let me ask you something. When does that thing turn into a baby? When does it turn into a baby? When it's going to come out? No. If it's a baby. You know, they have partial birth abortion where the whole body is birthed out of the mother's body, and they stick that sharp instrument in its back of its neck, suck the brains out, and throw it in the trash can. That's legal in this country. Goes on every day. 56 million have been killed legally since Roe versus Wade. And somebody will answer to God for that. The guilt of America. 1 in 12 has attempted suicide. 30,000 commit suicide every year. Young people. And you don't know. You're a teenager this morning. You don't know. They'll come home and act like everything's all right in front of you. But you don't know what's going on the school bus. You don't know what they're talking about late at night when you're going to bed. I was talking last night about going to camp. I said, I remember when we used to go to camp, they couldn't have no newspaper. They didn't have no radios. Couldn't have no out. And you know one of the best things about camp is you're cut off from the outside world long enough for God to talk to you for a little bit. When they're home, it's TV till you fall asleep, leaving music playing all night long, and you can't even hear God talking to you. Well, that's changed nowadays. Because every one of them has a cell phone, and they have the internet on the cell phone, and bring it to camp with them. Somebody said, well, why don't you tell them again? Their mamas would take a fit if you took them and they couldn't use a cell phone. Well, I've got to know where they're at. We've done it for 100 years, brother, without you having to know where they're at every second. Those cell phones are not used just to let them know where you're at. They're used at night when the covers are up over their head and they have access to every filthy thing in the world right in their hand. And that's why there's a big difference in churches today than there was 12, 15 years ago. I'm telling you this morning, you say, well, I don't like that. Ain't nothing wrong with a cell phone. I got one laid in my office, so there ain't nothing wrong with it. But I'm telling you, it's just like TV or anything else. You can use it for good. You can use it for bad. And a child has a temptation to use it for bad. You that's got these little kids, you better watch the videos they're watching. I mean, their minds are being corrupted at a very young age. And at camp, you can't even get away from camp now because they say, Mama said I had to keep my phone so I could call her every night. Well, you do the other 99% of the time with it. Ladies and gentlemen, the guilt of this country is unbelievable nowadays. Listen, a Miley Cyrus video now would have been considered pornography 100 years ago in this country. Are y'all in here? Are you Christians? Are y'all right with God? Or you say, well, I like, there's something wrong with your head, buddy, and something way more than that wrong with your heart. Dancing around naked and ill with animals, promoting bestiality, and you think it's cute and a role model for your child? Never, brother! I'm telling you this morning, the guilt of America. You know what Theodore Roosevelt said? Theodore Roosevelt said, listen to this, school people, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. That's what he said. That's for all you people say, well, school ain't the place to learn the Bible. It sure is. That's how it started. School started in the house of God. And the Bible is the main textbook. Here's what he said. I fear any kind of religious stir. There's a religious stir going on in America today. It's called contemporary music and religion, where you just, everybody's cool and everything's wonderful and nobody says anything negative. He said, I fear any kind of religious stir that does not lead to a repentance and a sharp separation from the world. Any move of God, quote, that does not have people crying and repenting and cutting off the world is not of God. Amen! It's not of God. Ladies and gentlemen, true Holy Ghost repentance will make you get your heart right and say, I don't want the things of the world anymore. You can tell you're getting backslid when you start loving that world. I can too. And as soon as I get my heart really, really right, I don't want nothing to do with that junk. Amen? Benjamin Franklin said, we must all hang together and we all going to hang separately. People don't know the Bible, but know everything else. Man said, I heard a man say the other day, he said, I figured out who Paul's daddy was. And I said, what? He said, yeah, I figured out who Paul's daddy was. He said, he was one of the thieves on the cross that was crucified with the Lord. I said, what? I've never heard nothing like that in my life. He said, that's right. My daddy was one of the thieves that was crucified with Jesus, or Paul's daddy. And he said, how do you know that? He said, Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. That's what you got time to teach Bible nowadays. That's what you got. I was a preacher. So. Well, the guilt of America. The Beatles came. The kids rebelled. Our president was shot. Everything began to change. Woodstock. And in 1979, nobody knew what it was. But a man checked into a hospital and had strange problems. They called it some kind of sarcoma. And then they called it GRID. G-R-I-D. That's gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. That's the original name of AIDS. And the pressure, the political pressure was put on them to change it to acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And the judgment of God began to come on. You say, and you saying all that? I say all problems is the judgment of God on us. Not just on gay people. All of us. We all need to repent. We all need to get back with God. Listen, you know what Shining Light Baptist Church this morning needs? Needs every one of us to be in this altar praying that God will break our heart and put us back where we need to be and love each other and love Jesus first and get out there and get somebody else saved. Amen. Instead of whining around about our problems and how pitiful we are and how bad we have it, we ought to be, get your bus route, brother. Get out there and knock on somebody's door. Let's get something done for God. It'll start right here at the house of God. Everybody on a crusade trying to get prayer back in school, we ought to get it back in church first. Amen?
Yep.
1 million abortions a year. MTV came out in 1980. I never forget the first time I ever saw MTV. I was on visitation. And I sat and talking to this boy, and it's on the screen, they were singing and dancing. I thought, what in the world is that? 1980. I was sitting in a man's living room witnessing to him. And I could feel the devil, I'm telling you. And it just came out. When we were growing up, you could only watch TV at 11 o'clock and it went off. 12 o'clock. If you watch it after that, you watch the Indian. Feathers or some peacock had feathers sticking. That's all on all night long. Y'all don't even know that, do you? Poor ignorant generation that we're in now. Had this peacock had feathers, all colors. That's it, brother, till the next morning. Had three channels. Now it's 24 hours a day being pumped in their head. Let me give you the answer to our country's problems this morning, and I'm going to hush. We could talk all day about our country. But I'm going to give it to you this morning, and we'll do a little patriotic something here this morning. We'll get down on our knees and get right with God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This was to Israel, but we can definitely apply it to us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The guilt of America is that we quit seeking God. The truth is this morning, the Lord's been so good to us, we ought to be more on fire than we've ever been. And yet people do less and less and less. And we're going to regret it one day. Let's get our hearts right this morning. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.